hubbardnews.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And there's more news coming out this week about the big Target data loss.
Yeah, this is incredible. Hack. It's huge.
Turns out it's a big issue, and the data's hitting the market now. Now the U.S. carriers also are able to block activation of stolen smartphones. This came up. This was actually released a couple of weeks ago. This is actually good news because it makes stolen smartphones worth a lot less, which means there may not be such a big demand for them.
That'll be good.
And of course, it was just a big week for all kinds of technical discussions and technical gifts. So I'm going to talk about more high-tech gifts for the house. Because I'm basically into sort of gadgets these days.
You are, and gifting to yourself.
Yeah, see, I did get the DJI Phantom drone came in here yesterday. I'm putting it together. But I see that Sig Crossland on our Facebook page, he says, you know, that's just a toy. And he gave me a link to Spreading Wings S-800. And I'll tell you, that's an awesome, drone but it's like $2,900 instead of $1,200.
Well, you have something to work up to. This is you can get type rated on this one, and then you can move up.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that Spreading Wing. So, you know, look at my, I was so happy with my Phantom, and then he shows me Spreading Wings.
Just deflated you, right?
He really
took the wind
did.
From beneath your
and
wings.
And, of course, this week we're going to feature somebody who was suggested for a Tech Talk profile last week by James Messick. We're going to feature Ralph H. Bearer, the father of video games.
Oh, cool.
And, of course, it was a huge mailbag, as
heavy,
always.
Like a ton.
There's
Here we
a letter
go.
In your mailbox.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice.
You know, the holidays, he decided to help out today. Wasn't that nice of him? I wouldn't expect it to last.
No, it's because the Christmas bonus is due this week.
Ah, so he thinks he
carries the mail one time just before the bonuses come out.
He thinks you have a very short memory.
That's what he's hoping. I would take this as
an affront if I would.
I wouldn't count on it.
No.
Again, because
mm-hmm.
you know the week after bonus checks are out.
No, he'll be off smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee during the show.
Well, we got an email from Lois in Kansas. Many computers are now built without DVD drives. Actually, my laptop doesn't have a DVD drive because I don't want to carry all that extra weight around with me. And I hardly ever use the DVD drive. This causes a big problem, though, when you want to restore your computer using a CD. What can I do if my laptop won't boot from a DVD drive because I don't have one and I need to restore my machine? Love the show, Lois. Well, this is actually becoming more of an issue as optical drives are becoming optional on many smaller computers like mine because people don't want to carry them around. And there are a few solutions. Well, if you still happen to have a DVD, I'll just tell you how to do that, and then we'll move into if you don't have one. If you have a DVD, you have to be careful about the boot order, because when the computer is booting up, it will look for this drive. Say, is this a bootable partition? Then it will go to the next drive. Is there a bootable partition? And next drive, is there a bootable? And as soon as it gets a bootable partition, it stops looking and just boots up. So if you have it looking at the hard drive first, it will never try to boot off the DVD. So, frequently you have it just go to the hard drive first because you want a quick boot up. But if you want it to boot off the DVD first, you have to adjust your BIOS, which is basic input-output circuit, and you can get to the BIOS while the machine is booting up. You can hit one of the function keys, usually F7 or F5, and it brings up a BIOS screen. You can go in there and find something called boot order, and you can then adjust the order that the devices are booted in, so you can just then boot off your DVD or CVD or CD. Now, if you don't have Or if, suppose your DVD isn't working or a CD is not working, that's also another problem. It just fails. But usually these are big dust collectors. You know, they just get so a lot of times you can just blow in the slot and fix it. It's fairly, you know, it's, or maybe you could get a, you know, if you don't want to blow, you could get like a little can of compressed air. I typically just blow in it, to tell
it's
you the
cheaper.
Truth. It's a lot cheaper. And but then if you don't have any DVD at all in your system like I do, then you've got to buy an external DVD. So you get an external DVD with it that connects to your computer using a USB port, plug it in. Then you have to adjust the boot order so it checks the USB first to boot up before it does the hard drive. So you have to adjust your BIOS to check the USB. Then you can put your bootable DVD or CD into that drive, and it will boot right up. That would be the way to do it. Now, and the final way that you could do it is sometimes you can get like a Linux operating system, and you can boot right off a thumb drive. So you can actually put all the bootable media right off the thumb drive, and you could just put a thumb drive in. You still have to adjust it so it boots on the USB first, then you could just boot off the thumb drive. But that was a good question, and more people are having that as an issue. We got an email from Heather in Alexandria. Dear Tech Talk, how do I use my television screen with my laptop?
Ooh.
I've got a great flat screen. I'd love to use it to share pictures with my family. Thanks, Heather. Well, that's a great question because, actually, the new TV screens are just darn good.
Yeah.
You've got this high resolution. You say, well, why not just sit here on the couch? I got this giant screen. Just use that for my connection. It's not a bad idea. Well, you can connect to your flat screens in a number of ways. Now, you've got to look at the back to see the kind of input that it has. There are a couple of digital inputs that are really the best. You've got HDMI, which includes both video and audio, both. Digital audio as well as digital video, HDMI. So if there's an HDMI connection and your computer has an HDMI connection, you just plug the HDMI connection into both ends, and then you're connected to your computer. Now, the older machines may not have HDMI. They might only have DVI, digital video input. Now, DVI does not include audio. So if you use a DVI input, you'll connect to the video portion but not the audio. So if you're playing a YouTube video from your laptop, I guess you could use your laptop speaker. If you don't want to do that, you're going to have to plug into the audio output from your laptop and then plug that into the back of the TV. Now, those are probably the most common ones. You've got also some of the older units have VGA connectors. That's the old technology. It's an analog technology. So you could use a VGA and you could just connect if your computer has a VGA connection, you could hook it to the VGA on your laptop. So my laptop has a VGA as well as an HDMI, but of course I'd pick the HDMI first and foremost. Now once you connect the TV to your laptop, you have to tell it to send the video through that port. And so you have to put it in what's called the presentation mode, you know, like when you're making a presentation. And so you can, like in my computer, it's you hit function 7,
mm-hmm.
or on some computers you can hit control P. You can hit control plus P, and that'll put you in the presentation mode. And once you're in the presentation mode, you have a choice of having the laptop screen, the external screen, or both screens. So what I usually do, I put it on in both screens, and I've got it both on the laptop as well as on the external screen, and then you're set. Just like you were setting up your laptop to go into a projector. And then you can sit there, you can play on your laptop, you could show movies on your laptop, you could actually do a slideshow on your laptop, and everybody can look at it on the TV set in the living room. It's a nice idea.
Sure.
We got an email from John in Woodbridge. Dear Tech Talk, I just updated my browser to Internet 11. And now when I log into my Microsoft web portal for Outlook for work, I can only access the text client and not the full HTML client. This is very frustrating because the text client has almost no features. And I want to go back to the full client that I had before when I had the older version of Internet Explorer. Can I go back to the older version, or what should I do? Thanks, John. Well, John, even though these are all Microsoft products, for some reason, the Microsoft Outlook web portal is not fully compatible with Internet 11, Internet Explorer 11. So it reverts to the text client because you're not full compatibility. Now, you can fix this by going to your browser and setting it up in the compatibility mode where you're compatible with older versions. So you want to go to Tools, and that'll be a drop-down menu. It's Tools from the top, and then select Compatibility View Settings, and that'll bring up a window. And then you can add your domain name to the email, to the compatibility view. So like in my case, if I wanted to do it, I'd put in stratford.edu, and I would add that domain. So anytime I go to that domain, it's viewing all the pages from that domain in the compatibility view. You close the browser. When you open it again and you go back to your email client, it will work perfectly. Actually, I had that very same problem when I switched over to Internet Explorer 11, and I had to go back and make that adjustment. I actually don't understand why Microsoft let that happen, but maybe they'll get it fixed in a later release for that Outlook webmail. We got an email from Fair and Good. Dear Dr. Church, I'm applying for jobs as a business analyst. Today I was asked to come to an interview, but they asked me to bring my last two pay stubs. Now, I'm over 65. I've never gotten this question before, and I've worked my entire life since age 16. What is it? Don't they trust me that I earned the salary that I said I had? What's going on? Is it appropriate to even ask for this? The firm's owned and run by a couple from India. I don't know if that's relevant. Thanks. Regular Maryland listener, Fair and Good. Well, actually, this is kind of standard for the younger generation, Fair and Good. Previously, in the old days, you'd go to an employer, you'd give them permission to validate your salary history, and they'd go to your prior employer, and the HR department would get your salary history. They would actually be validating it in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it looks to me like this is a fairly small company. They don't have an HR department to do all that back validation. They just wanted to get it done quickly. So having the W-2s, just look at them right on the spot, is not a bad idea. I don't think it's that they don't trust you. I think it's probably more related to their size. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they're from India. I think it's just
they just
small.
Have the resources.
They just don't have the resources. And I think a lot of the young kids, that's actually how they do it. It's a lot more informal. So I wouldn't take it personally. But there has been kind of a shift in that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from Michael in Herndon. Dear Doc and Jim, what identifying signatures are given off when my laptop is connected to a wireless network? You know, like is the laptop name, the type of laptop, my name, personal information about me. I'm worried that somebody's got a traffic sniffer and they're gonna get the make and model of my computer, or do they know more than that? Thanks, Michael. Well, let's start with the secure connection that goes to a wireless hotspot. Now, if you're connected with WPA or WPA2 encryption key, you're pretty well set. It's going to be an encryption. It's going to be encrypted data stream. They're not going to see anything. They're not going to get any data in what's passed. They will be able to get your MAC address. That's that because they can tell that it's coming from a particular machine address. So they will be able to see your MAC address, but that's about it. Now, there's another encryption standard, WEP, Wireless Equivalent Protocol. That was the old one. And that's actually pretty easy to hack. You know, you can actually get software that will sit and observe a string of packets, and they'll eventually get enough information that they can calculate the key. And it only takes about, 20 minutes of listening to packet exchange in order to calculate the key. So if you got WEP, if you got anybody that wants to hack your home network, they could certainly do that. But with WPA or WPA2, the key rotates periodically. So by the time you calculate it, it's already shifted. And so those are much, much more secure. Now, but that actually brings up another point. If you're at a hotspot, say at an open hotspot, say at Starbucks, where you don't put any key in, you don't put in a WPA, you don't put in a WPA2 key, you put in nothing, then pretty much everything you send over the network can be seen, and you know, people could sit there and just scarf up all your passwords and everything else.
Yikes.
Now if you connect to say Gmail using HTTPS, it means you've got an encrypted data stream while you are talking to your Gmail, and it's also encrypted when you send your username and password. So you could actually have an encrypted data stream between you and particular servers, but actually they could really see what's going on. And if you don't have your firewall set up, and if you've got file sharing set up, they might be able to even look at, you know, people in the network might be able to even look at what's on your hard drive, assuming that you've allowed them to do that. And that kind of reminds me, one time I checked into a hotel, you know, you log on, and I was connected to an Ethernet connection, so you think that would be fairly secure. But I just decided to look at my network neighborhood. You can do that with Windows. I looked at my network neighborhood. It gave me a list of all the computers attached to the network. And I started clicking on those computers, and some of those people were sharing their hard drive. They
Yikes.
Didn't even know it. And you could, if you'd want, you could look at their pictures. You could look at anything on their hard drive. They didn't even know it.
Ugh.
So if you are – now, I didn't really, you know, look around at their hard drive. That was more of a security. I was sort of –
You're just noticing that this was going on.
Yeah, I was just kind of interested with the security thing. And so if you attached, like, to a hotel network, I certainly would not have any file sharing going on unless it's password protected. And I definitely would have my software firewall operating, because you don't want to have a virus transferred over the network to you. But really wasn't exactly your question, just kind of a sidebar. We got an email from Rich in Glen Allen. Dear Tech Talk, I've got a Huawei Rovio webcam robot, and I just got a new 64-bit Windows 7 laptop. Must have been last year's model, because they're all Windows 8 now. So he probably got a good deal on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't access my Rovio because the device driver won't install. What can I do? I love that robot. Now I can't use it. Thanks, Rich and Glen Allen. Well, Rich, the Huawei Rovio device drivers support only 32-bit operating systems, and Huawei has not released the 64-bit version. So, and you've got a 64-bit machine, so it won't install. So you're going to have to install the operate a Windows XP mode. You're going to have to install the Windows XP mode into your Windows 7 system. And when the Windows XP mode is operating, it's a 32-bit operating system. So the Windows XP mode works in two ways, both as a virtual operating system and as a way to open programs within Windows 7. It runs in a separate window on the Windows 7 desktop, much like a program, except it's a fully functional, fully licensed version of Windows XP. So in the Windows XP mode, you can access your physical drive, your CVD, you can install programs, you can save files, you can perform other tasks as if you're using a computer running XP. Now, in order to install the XP mode, you've got to be running Windows Professional, Enterprise, or Ultimate Editions. You can't be running the Windows Home Edition, so I hope you've got one of those upgraded editions. And you can find out which edition you're running by clicking on the Start button picture, and then right-click on the computer, and then right-click on Properties, and then you'll see what kind of system you have. Now, to use the XP mode, you're going to have to download and install the program Windows XP Mode and Windows Virtual PC. And the Windows Virtual PC, that's the program that runs the virtual operating system on your computer. Now, when you install a program in the Windows XP mode, the program becomes available for both use in Windows XP as well as Windows 7. You want to go to the Windows XP page in the Download Center on the Microsoft site. You can just Google this. Then you select the version of Windows XP mode that you want to install. Click Install. Then you want to go to the Windows Virtual PC page in the Download Center, select the version of the virtual PC that you want to install, and then click Install. Now, the 64-bit version works with the 64-bit versions of Windows 7, so you want to click Yes, so you're installing the 64-bit version. Now, after the installation is complete, you just click Restart, restarts your computer. Now, to set up the XP mode, you just hit the Start button. And then you write, then you click on all programs, then you click Windows Virtual PC, and then click Windows XP. After the setup's complete, Windows XP mode opens in a separate window. There's no antivirus with that, so if you're going to have to run one of the, you're going to have to install an antivirus program to protect it. But now you've got a 32-bit operating system, and when you're within that operating system, you can install the device driver. It's a good question, because we don't want your Huawei Rovio robot to go to waste.
Exactly.
Those are great
correct.
Questions. We love all your questions. You can email us at techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll answer your questions on the show or get back to you directly by email.
That is correct. You are listening to Tech Talk Radio. Of course, we're on every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., 820 a.m., 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by, profiles in IT, and more of Tech Talk coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
It's time. Time to put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge. It's time. Time to take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. Or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, it's time to be more.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yeah, so today we're going to feature Ralph H. Bearer. He was suggested by James Messick last week. It was a great suggestion. Ralph Bearer is a video game pioneer, otherwise known as the father of video games.
You have lots of fathers of on
yes,
the show.
Yes, we certainly do. We have many fathers of so many things. Not very many mothers, mostly just fathers.
Exactly, except we did have Grace Hopper.
We did.
She was.
Yes. That's right, we did. That okay. is very true. Ralph Bearer was born March 8th, 1922, in Permessen's, Germany, to Jewish parents when he was 11. It's a bad time to be in Germany, by the way.
It was, yes.
When he was 11, he was expelled from school in Germany because of his Jewish ancestry, and he had to go to an all-Jewish school. 2 months before the Kristallnacht attacks on Jewish stores and homes, the Bears fled to Holland and then the United States. And the relatives that were left were killed. Mm. And they just escaped just
wow.
before the crackdown. In 1940, he completed the National Radio, a correspondence course at the from the National Radio Institute. So he learned a little bit of electronics. He was basically self-taught. And then for the next 3 years, he ran a store in New York City, servicing and repairing not just radios, but PA systems and early television sets as well. He earned a whopping $12 an hour.
Back then, that was a lot of money.
That wasn't bad, you know. Back then, that was probably a pretty good salary.
Sure.
In 1943, he was drafted to fight in World War II. But because he was so smart, he was assigned to military intelligence. And he was then further assigned to be in Eisenhower's headquarters in London. He wrote training manuals and became an expert on German weapons. So he got all of the German weapons, learned how to use them, and then he would train U.S. personnel on how to use German weapons in the event that's all they had.
Sure.
And so they'd know how to use it. After the war, Bear graduated from the television engine, got a Bachelor's of Science in Television Engineering from the American Television Institute of Technology in Chicago. That would be in 1949 after
the
war.
Who knew that there was that and the National Radio Institute?
Yeah.
We should go to that, Doc. We could learn a few things.
We should
to
try
make the
to
show
check
better.
That out. And you know, back then, back in 1949, a degree in television engineering was a rare commodity.
I bet there weren't too many TV stations
back
then.
No, very few TV stations. You know, that was like a technology yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
In 1949, Bear went to work for Wappler Incorporated, where he designed and built surgical cutting machines, epilators. What's an epilator? Does that like trim your skin
it
or something?
It must be. Let me check. Let me
check
Google
on that,
that
because
right?
We need to, you know, if we got to have all the technicals.
We need to know.
Epilators as well as
it's
low
a class
frequency
of the airwaves.
As well as low frequency pulse muscle toning equipment. You know, you put these things on and they contract your muscles for weight loss. Kind of gimmicky, but he designed those. In 1951, Bear went to work as a senior engineer for Loral Electronics in the Bronx, New York, where he designed power line carrier signaling equipment for IBM, where they could send signals over power lines. From 1952 to 1956, he worked at Transitron, Incorporated in New York City, as a chief engineer and later as vice president. Then finally, in 1956, he got his official home, and he joined Sanders Associates, where he stayed until he retired in 1987. Sanders eventually was purchased by BAE,
mm-hmm.
which is really a big defense conglomerate now. While he was at Sanders Associates, he worked on alphanumeric projection displays for the better part of the 60s. And in 1966, he came up with the original concept for playing games using a home TV. This was the big thing,
mm-hmm.
and based on his, and he actually had sort of handwritten notes when he sort of came up with the idea, and those became the sort of the basis of the patent of the first video game. He designed, while he was there, what he called the Brown Box console video game. Now, that's not a very good name for, you know, marketing.
No, it's
the
not.
The Brown Box. Probably he just put it together. He probably just had a brown box and he crammed all the electronics in a brown box. They ended up licensing this video game technology to Magnavox in 1972. And he applied for the first patent for video games in 1968. So in 66 he invented it. In 68 he applied for the patent, developed the Brown Box, and then in 72 they licensed it to Magnavox. Now, the Brown Box at Magnavox was renamed the Magnavox Odyssey.
It's a better name.
Yeah. And the game that really was a hot ticket on the Odyssey was Pong.
I had that.
You remember Pong?
Yeah.
I played Pong before.
Yeah,
you
sure.
hit the dot back and forth and move the two paddles up and down. It's, you know, it's
pretty rudimentary,
but that was really the first game. Now, Bear was responsible also for first-person shooter games, which featured a light gun. And so what would happen, this light gun, you would point it at the TV, and it would actually pick up the modulation from the TV itself to tell what you were pointing at.
Oh.
It could tell from the phase of the modulation of the scanning signal where you were pointing it. And so it got feedback from the screen. I think the light that was pointed there had nothing to do with how they detected the location, it's mm-hmm. how the person did. So he invented the light gun, and that was the first video game, you know, peripheral device that was developed. In the mid-70s, he started the R.H. Bear Consultants Group. Well, this was while he was still working for Sanders, actually. And while he was at that group, he invented and developed the single chip microprocessor-controlled handheld game system. So it was getting smaller and smaller, you know, as technology was being developed.
Sure.
And he developed that for Marvin Glass and Associates. Now, for that particular microchip controlled handheld game system. He and his partner developed a game called Simon, which was an electronic game based on memory skill named after Simon Says. Mm-hmm. And what they would do, they would have like four different colored squares, and they would pop up in different order of different colors, and you would have to remember what you just saw and reproduce it. Simon Says. So it was kind of a memory game. Bayer has 150 U.S. and foreign patents, a significant amount of them resulting in toys and games that eventually went into production. In 2006, Bayer donated all of his hardware prototypes and documents to the Smithsonian.
Wow.
So I'm waiting for that big display to
come out.
Cool. I haven't seen that at the Smithsonian yet. Bayer is a life senior member of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. In February 13, 2006, Bayer was given the National Medal of Honor by George W. Bush. In April 1, 2010, he was inducted into the Inventors Hall of Fame. So there's the man, Ralph H. Bayer, the father of the video game. These were very rudimentary games, but he came up with the basic concept back in 1966.
That's pretty funny. You talk about the brown box. Back
yes.
then, I mean, all of the electronics components and they were very industrial looking. Now everything looks cool. But
yeah.
Back then, it was all
back
just a
then it was,
box of parts,
that's
basically.
Right.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, which is, of course, a classmate of the airwaves. And I hope you're paying attention because we will be playing the pop quiz in just a minute. Here on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Well, welcome back to the Classroom of the Airways, formerly known as a radio show.
It never was.
I know.
I'm on board with you now.
It's kind of bait and switch, but
yes.
There we go, because I just love to teach. So we're at the Classroom of the Airways, and now, of course, if there's a Classroom of the Airways, there must be a pop quiz to
yes.
assess whether you've learned anything. So earlier in the show, we were talking about Ralph H. Bayer, the father of video games, and of course, he invented the video game, and they licensed the technology to Magnavox. And Magnavox made the Magnavox Odyssey. What was the most popular game that was played on the Magnavox Odyssey that really allowed it to have enormous market penetration for that time? If you get the correct mm-hmm. answer to that quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room or to the Karim Dining Room in Woodbridge, and you'll get an A-plus for this particular show.
To end the semester, in fact.
Yes.
And why, Doc? We have a guest.
Till I walk in.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get him seated here.
I've got my drone, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Before we start,
yes,
we left out an important ingredient. If you have the answer to the pop quiz, you need to call us. If you're calling from north of the South Pole, it's 877-936-9333. If you're calling from south of the North Pole, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333.
If you're calling from the Swiss Alps, you can call over Skype, Tech Talk Radio 1. It will be forwarded directly to the studio.
Or 877-936-9333.
Listen, we have worldwide reach, yes. Dave.
And if you're in Silver Spring, you can use your drums. We can listen to them here. Hey, I love the Eddie Haskell look. That's nice.
You like that?
The sweater vest,
kind of
polo shirt. That's
wasn't
nice.
Really thinking clearly
wow.
this morning. Clearly.
Obviously, you're single. Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
That's okay, buddy. We all been there.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Have a nice
Hi,
day.
Doc. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Got my drone. I got my Phantom drone. Got my Phantom drone. Came in yesterday.
Wait a minute. Let's don't get semantical here.
Yeah.
When you say, is this a real drone?
It's got four propellers.
Not a virtual, not the elevator.
No,
the
it's a real
drone.
No,
thing.
No.
You got
it,
a real drone.
It looks like a miniature Amazon drone with four propellers.
Really?
It stays up for 25 minutes.
What have you done?
It will do a video.
It's
got
it
a
video. Powered battery? What?
Battery powered.
Battery.
Battery Ooh. Powered. I stays up for 25 minutes. It's got an integrated camera.
Eco friendly.
I don't think it's going to be face friendly when it gets
Here's the trouble. You know, when I mounted a diesel engine on it, it couldn't take off.
What did Mrs. Wonderful think of this purchase?
Oh, no. As soon as
she doesn't know?
No. As soon as it arrived, she scarfed it up and she gave it to me for my birthday.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Look what I want.
But you're the one that ordered it.
I know. That way I get exactly what I want.
We missed the key. Did you just have a birthday?
Yesterday.
Happy birthday, Doc.
Thank you.
You still wearing the same clothes you did in junior high?
Yeah. That's right.
Except you got to pull up the pants a little bit.
We need to lock the door.
I know. Wait. Well, let's get to the point here. Did you test fly it?
I'm just now going through all the.
What do you mean? Just now? What?
I have
you didn't
to do,
test fly it?
I have to do flight training.
Okay.
There's a flight.
Go to
there's
NASA.
A flight training
the
manual.
The guy's got five PhDs.
He's got to Cape Canaveral learn how to fly this thing.
There's a flight training manual, the thing is, it attaches to your it connects
you
to my iPhone.
Of course
my
it
iPhone,
does.
And I can see.
Of course it does.
And I can see what the drone is seeing through my iPhone.
Wow.
And it will take 1080p video.
When do you think you'll be ready to fly
Condo
this?
Windows.
When?
Next show.
Swimming pools.
Next show.
How long have you had this?
I've only had it one day.
Okay, I'll give you a break.
I had it one day, and then last night.
For him, one day is like 5 days real time.
I figured he'd be up at 2 o'clock in the morning flying
well, you know,
to see around
the neighborhood. I was there putting on propellers last night, and then finally I thought, okay. I'd
Are there four propellers on
four
on each
propellers? Four nine-inch no, four nine-inch propellers.
Nine-inch?
These are nine-inch propellers.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, with 4 9-inch propellers, that means it's got lots of lift.
Yes.
Meaning that those Victoria's Secrets gifts can be delivered.
That's
this
exactly
year.
Right.
This year.
That's right.
He's
got to
get on
there.
They're
though. Exactly right.
Exactly.
It could carry as much Victoria's Secret as you'd want.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Wow. Absolutely.
There would just be no issue
here
about
here
that at all.
And what
I wanted to fly it around the glass enclosed nerve center upstairs.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
I just bet you did. But we have Missile Command up there to take care of it. Now, Doc, what's your first application, your first flight? Where is the flight going to be? Are you going to a parking lot at a mall somewhere?
No, I'm going to take aerial photos of all of my campuses, and I'll have video of aerial photos of flying around the campuses.
Why is that kind of creepy?
I don't know. I thought he was going to say he was going to go to the Naval Observatory and
actually, I'm going to fly it around the neighborhood and try to freak out my neighbors.
No, Doc, I see.
You don't do that anyway?
Yeah.
I see this application coming in somewhere late June and July, flying over the neighbors' pools.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, do you have pools at the campuses?
Okay, here's the thing. There were people at work that wanted to borrow it to fly it over Black's Beach in San Diego.
There you go, buddy.
That's it. There's a real application.
May I be extremely noisy and ask you what this cost? I mean, you don't have to share that with us.
$1,200.
$1,200?
He was happy.
$1,200?
Listen.
Wow.
Dave.
But wait, there's more.
He's taking his time learning how to fly this
Dave,
thing.
I'm doing research for Tech Talk.
Okay.
He can write this off.
I'm doing research for Tech Talk.
I get it.
But he got a note this morning from a listener.
You're a very wise man.
Yeah.
That's good. I can learn from him.
He got a note from a listener this morning that this thing he's got, the $1,200 drone, is a toy There's a $2,900.
This is the drone that that Sig wanted me to get. It's
that's
on our Facebook
that's
page.
$2,900.
No, this is the $2,900 drone.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
Is the Spreading Wings S800.
Wow, it's the Bette Midler version.
So this is a mean drone. Yeah, so this is what happens. I'm so happy with my Phantom Vision, and then a Facebook listener a Tech Talk listener on Facebook, they say, "Well, that's just a toy. This is a man's drone."
He's got a point. I mean, if you're going to write it off, go right off the big one. I mean, $2,900.
I'm thinking, $2,900. That's got six.
Hey, you can not only have a camera, you can have coffee service with this.
that's
a real thing.
And a co-pilot.
See, this is not a drone. This is a professional flying platform.
Yeah. Doc, have we discussed or done any research, which I'm sure you have, the rules and regulations with the FAA and all the other neighborhood associations and with NORAD?
I think this comes under the
Devil May Care category.
I'm actually
don't care.
I'm actually following the rule of don't ask, don't tell.
Got it. So when the Fairfax County guys pull up in front of your house and go, "Does this belong to you?"
Because he crashed it on the beltway.
Listen, Dave, my name isn't on it.
Okay, yeah.
Right. My name's not on it, Dave.
I get the VIN number off that thing in a hurry.
Yeah.
You're doing a test flight, and all of a sudden it got away from you and took off and crashed on the beltway. And
some guy,
a 15 car accident.
Well, I have a funny feeling this is going to happen.
Some guy on the blog was really teed off because he was flying his, and he lost control of it.
Uh-oh.
And he was taking pictures at the beach, and the thing flew off. And he had a $500 camera mounted on it.
Oh,
he lost the drone and the camera.
Wow.
And so he was really teed off about this,
I know
control
I put my Rolex
malfunction.
Somewhere. I put my Rolex once.
I put it on the drone.
I put it on the drone. What am I thinking?
And all of my stocks and bonds.
Doc, let's just be serious for a second.
Okay.
You're very influential on the show. Because I remember years ago when you were touting PCs and all, and people just drove to the stores. When they heard you talk about something, they drove to the stores. They couldn't get it fast
enough. Like Field of Dreams. Taillights, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, can you imagine everybody getting drones and how crazy this is going to be?
It'd be wild, yeah.
Just wild. And then you're going to have some wise guy who will figure out how to put an air rifle on it. Okay.
Right.
I mean, you know that's coming. Come on. I mean, we're not boys. But it's a boy's toys. We've got to figure this stuff out.
That's right, That's it. Especially with this Spreading Wings S800. I mean, you could put a machine gun on that thing.
He's going to have a hangar in the backyard.
This is the oldest little boy I know, man. This is the oldest little boy I know.
Listen, I got
look at his face.
It's
Christmas morning. Look, he just opened it up.
He can't wait to get out of here.
I got an Xbox One too.
Oh God.
What are you going to do
now? Right, all the kids are gone.
The minute you leave here and get home, what are you going to do?
He's Xbox.
No, I'm putting together. I'm working on the drone.
That's what I thought.
I'm not working on the Xbox. Xbox was last week.
Yeah, that's last.
That's
week.
Last week.
See, the thing is, this Xbox, you talk to it.
What's the mileage on this thing? What you said, 25 minutes, whatever it is.
25 minutes. Yeah.
What's that in miles?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have no idea.
Depends on wind and.
You'll have Marianne the Subaru
and I don't really know how high it will go.
This is comforting.
How fast and how high? These are unknowns.
How high? 25.
No, but I'm going to fly it around. And people say, "What is that? Look out the window. What is that? What is that thing out the window out there? That drone flying around?"
It's science. It's science, man.
Ring, ring. Doc, why is your drone hanging outside our bathroom? What are you doing?
I can't figure out how to.
Really? I'm streaming live video. Yes, there we go.
Of your show.
That's nice, Doc. You'll report next week as to your progress?
Yeah, I'm going to report on the thing. And the thing is, if I'm actually able to control it, I may bring it in to fly it around the studio.
Oh, man, that would be so fun.
That would be great.
I'm getting propeller guards so that it doesn't cut off anybody's
propeller
head.
Guards?
Propeller guards. Because there's nothing worse than having than having a wild propeller.
Hey Doc, I don't know what's higher than a PhD doctorate, but I think you could qualify if you take it right outside the window here, because the Second District
Police Station
is right
perfect.
Over there. If you land it on the roof, take it off and bring it over to our roof, that would be one heck of a test.
Land it on the roof of the police station over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So what happens if you're upstairs in the glass enclosed nerve center and a drone starts looking in the window? with
he'll know who it is.
I'll know it's you, Doc.
And it says WMAL on it.
Brother. God.
Okay, you got me there.
Way to ruin everything.
Well, I got to leave now. And,
okay. Thanks,
it's been
Dave.
Fun. It's been a lot of fun. So but you're really doing that next week, really?
Actually, no, the weekend.
Are you bringing 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm going to bring it in 2 weeks, okay, because next week, holidays. Best of.
We're on hiatus.
In two weeks, man. I'm going to bring the drone in.
Yeah, bring the
And maybe we'll fly it. Maybe we'll go outside and fly it, and you could actually do a report on it.
Do you have your name? Do you have a name for the drone, like Tonto or something like that? Bring Tonto. Bring Tonto. Yes, bring Tonto.
Next week I'll have a name, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'll have a name for it.
It's been fun, Doc.
Yeah, okay.
I've got to go now.
Merry Christmas, Dave.
Hey, same to you guys, really.
Thanks for stopping in. Maybe I'll get some more vests for Christmas.
Get some more vests, will you? Eddie Haskell's missing that one. Okay, thank you, buddy. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
David Byrd, everybody. Thank you. Okay, Doc. No. We have business here.
Oh, we do.
We do have business here.
Oh, let me leave on
the
headset then.
You were in party mode already. All right, let's see.
I'm so excited by the drone, I can hardly stay on the radio show, actually.
Just give us 15 more minutes, you can go play with your toys.
Okay.
Let us go to line one. This is Lewis calling from Rockville. Lewis, how are you? Happy holidays, sir. Wait a minute.
Lewis.
There you are, Lewis.
Pong.
Pong, you got
Pong,
it.
You win.
Lewis got the answer, and I didn't even ask the question. He is a psychic.
You know what? He knew we were short on time.
What
Lewis, hang on a second. Happy holidays to you, sir. And Andrew will take care of
that's
that.
Right.
And
very
we're
going
to take care of this. And Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Tech Talk. We'll be back in just a minute here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM, HD2.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. It's time. Time to put your talents out there on your terms and set your own pay. If you are ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management covers the skills to launch your business from writing a solid business plan to financing, branding, and marketing. Choose from our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge. Contact us today at stratford.edu. Stratford University. It's time to be more.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now I'm telling you, I think we should, now that we've gotten to toys,
it's
kind of a gift
already,
guide for the
right.
home of the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is like more kind of toys that I like to have. Because I've turned into really enjoying these high-tech toys. Now, not all of these are practical, but some of them are kind of fun. Now, the first one is the egg minder. You've got your eggs in the refrigerator, and then you're gonna make a fried egg. You say, well, you want to pick the oldest egg first.
Right, yeah,
How
sure.
do you know which egg is the oldest, you know? Or suppose you're at the store and you say, I don't know, how many eggs do I have in the refrigerator? Well, if you've got the smart egg tray, which is Wi-Fi connected, it's got 14 spots in this egg tray. It's powered by two AA batteries. It's got a Wi-Fi chip in it. First of all, it can tell how old the eggs are that have been sitting in the sun. So it'll tell you which egg is the oldest.
So, but it won't tell you actually how old, it's which one has been sitting in the holder longer.
Yeah, no,
right?
no. If you shuffle them around, it's going to think it's a new egg.
Okay.
You
All
see,
right.
but if you put it in and don't lift it out, it's going to know it's an old egg. And so
okay.
it'll also tell you how many eggs are left. So I don't know if I would get this, but the egg minder, $70, and it's got a control that hooks into your either your iPhone or your Android phone, and it's got an application called Wink. So you could open up your iPhone and you could say, I wonder how many eggs I have left. And you don't have to open the refrigerator.
This is something I ask myself two or three times a day. An egg-centric dashboard?
Yeah,
I love this.
Egg-centric dashboard. I'm thinking this is not going to be a gift that I want. So I'm just putting that word out there for anybody, just because I mentioned it.
You need to be able to attach this to the drone and have a dump button on it so you can actually dump the eggs.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Perfect.
Now we have the DoorBot. Now, the DoorBot's not a bad idea. This is a Wi-Fi-enabled monitor and doorbell that initiates a video call from your front door whenever somebody rings it, and it goes to your smartphone. Now, actually, it's more like half of a video call because you can see them, but they can't see you. So you could actually be at the grocery store, somebody rings the phone, the front door, and you can talk to them just like you're in the house. Or suppose you're watching a TV, you don't want to get up from the TV. You just answer the door. You can see who's out there. That's actually not a bad application. That's the DoorBot. It's quite a nice thing. We've got the Resolve. Check the price on that.
On the DoorBot.
Somehow I deleted the price today, and I don't know where it is. The Resolve Home Automation Hub. Now, this is a multi-protocol wireless receiver with a 65-foot range that consolidates all the devices into a single app. See, the problem is if you've got your egg minder and then you've got your DoorBot and you got this, you got that, you're going to have like 6 or 7 apps on your iPhone just to control stuff at your house. Well, the Resolve Home Automation puts them all together. Now, it connects to the Sonos speakers that I'll get into those later. Talks to your Nest devices, your Philips Hue light bulbs, your Belkin, Wemo products. It puts them all together so you can control them with just one app. Now, this home automation hub is $299 from Amazon. But the nice thing is you get all these devices that, hooked together. You could have something that turns on opens your garage door, flips on the air conditioning, turns the lights on, and you can have it set up so that as you using GPS, as you approach your phone, your home, the garage door automatically opens, the lights automatically turn on, everything's done for you automatically as you walk in the house. So it's kind of a nice feature, and it's all integrated into the one unit. That's the Resolve Home Automation Hub. Now, Kohler came out with the Moxie Showerhead and Wireless Speaker. It's actually a 1.5-watt Bluetooth speaker that's right in the middle of the shower nozzle, and it magnetically is, so you pop it in, it's magnetically held there. It's waterproof, of course, and you can just, and Kohler says that it'll last for about 6 or 7 hours of playing, so I guess that'd be good for maybe 15 showers.
Sure.
No problem. Maybe more showers than that. And these modules cost between $50 and $80, depending on which ones you get. So that's a way to really have high-quality Bluetooth music right in the shower.
Are you really needing to be in the shower that long?
No, I don't think. these are for people that are really just can't lose the beat. They've got to always be there. And it could be that if you got a nice rhythm, you can suds up better. You can take a shower a little bit more efficiently.
I think we need to change the subject. Oh, by the way, the DoorBot is $199.
Now that is quite a practical gift.
Sure,
actually, the DoorBot. I kind of like that. And you could even not be at home, but people think you're home.
Sure,
that's really kind of sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Nest Protect and Nest Learning Thermostat. Now, Nest is a company that was started by a former Apple employee. It's actually the guy that brought the iPod to Apple, and he's really into ease of use. So he has the Nest Learning Thermostat, which is $250, and it uses a wireless connection and sensors to automatically adjust your schedule. So it senses when you're there and when you're asleep, and it dynamically alters the controls to match your schedule. It also has analytics in an application that you can analyze your energy usage, and it will help you save money on your bills. And so it's really a learning thermostat. I mean, I've got a thermostat, I've got a program, you got all these menus,
yeah.
It's so complicated, you go on vacation. This learning thermostat, you don't have to program it, it just learns your habits and it programs itself. It has gotten great reviews. The Nest Learning Thermostat, $250.
That's not bad.
They recently came out with Protect, which is a which is a smoke detector, and it replaces this terrible, you know, alarm with spoken word warnings like, excuse me, there's a fire.
You might want to leave now.
You might want to leave now. Yeah, if there's smoke, crawl. You know, so it's like
stop, drop, and roll.
It's not the kind of alarm thing. And it also pings you when there's a trouble. It also doubles as motion sensing, and it turns on a nightlight. So you walk out, it senses the motion, the nightlight comes on automatically. Mm-hmm. Now, it's also used in tandem with the thermostat, so it can detect your movements around the house, and that can influence what the thermostat does. Like if you get up early, the thermostat turns up the heat, turns down the heat. It also detects an increase in carbon monoxide, and if it picks up an increase in carbon monoxide, it will tell the thermostat to shut off your gas heater, thinking that might be the issue. I mean, that's kind of a nice, that interaction between the two makes it more powerful. Now, the Protect motion sensors also work together with the thermostat, both your optimal heating routines. So that was 130 for the smoke detector. Now, we have the iRobot Luge 330. Now, this is a gutter cleaning robot. You know, people try to clean their gutter. You got to walk
and
down.
And you break your neck doing it? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
So they go up and you put this. So you go on one side of the house and you put this little robot down in the gutter and it drives along the bottom of the gutter and it's got these things that throw the leaves out of the gutter.
That's cool.
It's kind of got a powerful little engine. You've got a little video camera. You can look around as it's going down this
thing.
Oh,
that's awesome.
And so all you have to do is you put it in the gutter and it just drives around. I don't know that whether it can turn a corner. This is what I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So the Luge runs on a rechargeable lithium-ion battery. It spins its polypropylene blades and bristles. And these blades are strong enough to kick out wet leaves and gutter debris to the ground. Now, so that's not bad. That's $300, the iRobot Luge. Now, the Philips Hue, this is the Philips Hue lighting system. These are these are LED lights that are under wireless control. I love the Philips. I own the Philips Hue.
Uh-huh.
I've got 50 Philips Hue light bulbs around the house. And I can control the lights, different colors. They're all controlled by an iPhone app that I have. Now, if I had that Resolve Home Automation Hub, I could have all my devices linked into one system. But right now I've got an app for just my Philips Hue. And so you get the Philips Hue starter system for $200. That's three bulbs plus the bridge that bridges the lights to the Wi-Fi system. And you can add up to 50 lights to the bridge. So I'm up to my 50 light max, and I have to get another bridge to do that. Now, these aren't cheap. Each light bulb costs $60,
mm-hmm.
but they actually only use about five watts, and they're equivalent of around 60 watts. So it's really very energy efficient, and you can have them any color you want. You're completely controlled by your iPhone. You can adjust it so they turn on when you get close to home. It's a great system. I love it. I can even open a port in my home firewall, and I can change the lights remotely. So I can be in India and turn the lights on and off while Marianne's at home. She doesn't like that in particular.
I don't think the Luge can go around corners. It runs on a tractor track.
Okay.
So it looks like it's not terribly flexible.
Yeah, so it just makes a straight run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the DropCam Pro. It's easy to install. It's a Wi-Fi connected home monitoring system, and it gives you a live streaming webcam. It's got a built-in mic and speaker that lets you talk to the people at home, and so it actually shoots 1080p video. If you hook it to the cloud, it will actually take and save either a week's worth of data or 2 weeks worth of data or whatever you want to pay for. Well, I'm telling you, that's time's about up. We just love this show. And listen, email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and make certain to check us out on the web at stratford.edu and say you heard about the programs on Tech Talk.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Missed the show, want to tune in and hear it again at replay on this station at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Tech Talk today. Coming up this afternoon, we'll have the Wizards facing the Celtics at TD Garden in Boston. That starts at 12:45, tip-off at 1 o'clock, and the Capitals against the New Jersey Devils at Verizon Center. That begins at 6 o'clock tonight. Sunny, warm today, mid-60s for the high. Right now, 55 at 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take